And gentlemen, Chair, Board of Directors, Peter Denge Thrush.
Thank you, Nancy, and good morning, all of those who've come this wonderfully early hour. This has to be, I think, my favourite time of the week. We've just had a late night session finishing work, and we do this. So my instructions to the incoming chair would be to have a careful look at this piece of the agenda. Can we... So this is the session at which the hard-working committees of the board get to report on their activities to the community. The committees themselves are up on the screen next. Next slide, please. And when I say next slide, please, I mean next slide, please. Is it? Thank you. Okay, those are the current board committees. An audit committee, a board governance committee, compensation, executive, finance, global relationships, IANA, public participation, risk and structural improvements, all doing incredibly hard work and all very important to the well-being of ICANN and the internet community in general. I've asked the chairs to put together a report of activity since the last meeting in San Francisco, and I think I'll ask Ray Polzak, we'll work in reverse order, I think, this time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll work backwards through the list rather than alphabetically rather than... Ray, unless that takes you by surprise? No problem.
We're in the process of getting another piece of information for JJ, so if you give us just a second, we'll pull that up.
All right, would you like to move to the risk committee?
He can't move to anything right now. He's trying to get somebody's report who has requested a hard copy of it, so... 1 second, please.
No problems. Thank you.
You want, which one do you want up now, Peter? We're able to do it.
Thanks very much, Nancy. We're going to work up the list from the bottom. So if we could start with the Structural Improvements Committee.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So, Ray, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. Oh, we're doing the slow fades this morning. Anyway, here's who we are. That hasn't changed since last time. Here's what's going on. Across the middle of this slide, you see the track for the review process. And as you see, most of these are in the implementation phase. The TLG review is still in the committee phase to a certain extent because as a result of the review, the board formed a working group to really review how ICANN gets its technical input and information. And so that's a part of moving this review forward. The other review, the ASO, unlike the other bylaws reviews, by virtue of the ASO MOU, the NRO can conduct the review. To that end, the NRO has, working from a input of terms of reference from ICANN, has engaged a contractor to conduct a review. In fact, that contractor has been here this week conducting interviews and has been very active. And so while the review is being performed by the NRO, it will follow this track. In regard to implementation, the things that are up in the little blue box in the right-hand corner are what's going on. We've taken care of some more bylaws, changes with regard to the ALAC, finalizing the implementation plan for the CCNSO. The constituency process that I briefed you on the last two meetings is now ready for approval, having gone through an extended public comment period. And then as part of the restructuring aspects of the GNSO, as recommended by the review, We're working at, we will approve charters this morning for two stakeholder groups and a constituency. So looking ahead, what we will do is continue to move things along. We are going to spend more time in the implementation phase of some of these reviews so we can actually move them much further along at the time. Hopefully we'll have some significant progress by the time we get to our next session in Dakar. And also we are going to now start working on review criteria for the stakeholder groups. The board has tasked the Structural Improvements Committee to work towards reviews of the stakeholder groups. And so the first step, obviously, is to form a set of criteria. I will say this, that the criteria is going to be structured a lot like the criteria for the constituency approval process. That criteria for the constituency process and the criteria that we're going to develop for the stakeholder groups are actually going to be used as part of the basis for the overall review of the GNSO the next time around. And I don't know how that got the bylaws review criteria. That's what I was talking about. The term is bylaws review. That's what the criteria is. So that's what we plan on doing. I'm sure that as we progress towards our activities, that by the time we get together again in Dakar, that we will actually have made some significant improvements. And I'm sure that something in the meantime will come up that we have to deal with that we don't know about right now. So with that, I will say thank you. And, Peter, I'll turn it back to you for questions.
Thanks, Ray. Particularly exciting to see on that last slide the largest restructuring or review work, the GNSO, moving out of the implementation phase and into the assessment phase. And I know we've got some resolutions dealing with the last few steps of that on the board's agenda this afternoon. So well done to the SIC on all of their work, but perhaps particularly that very large piece. We have a speaker at the microphone. Madam.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I am the chair of the business constituency, and I'm a member of the executive committee of the CSG. And I'd like to just offer a comment and a question. My comment is that overall, a significant amount of work is being done by each of the board committees, and I, as usual, want to thank the committee members for their work. But I need to point out from the experience of stakeholders, which is actually a word I prefer to volunteers, that we need to have more export in and export out dialogue between those committees and the groups that are being affected. So to give an example, talking about the evaluation of stakeholder groups, I'd like to suggest, Mr. Chair of this group, that the leadership of the stakeholder groups should possibly be engaged in a dialogue with all of you. There's a significant workflow and workload challenge for us as we try to do our day-to-day job and all of the expectations that came to us from the GNSO improvements, which are quite considerable, and also take on being responsive and participating in assessments and implementation evaluations. The second area of my focus is that within the stakeholder group that I'm in, the leadership has expressed concerns about our ability to meet what has turned out to be a fair amount of unfunded mandates, where we don't actually have the financial resources from our members, and we are dependent on ICANN to provide certain structural kinds of support. And there has been some delay in the implementation of services we thought would be coming from the toolkit, et cetera. So it's not a complaint. It's an offer for the leadership of the CSG to become engaged. I'm sure the other leaders of the other SGs would make the same offer.
Thank you, Marilyn. A quick reply from Ray.
Thank you, Peter. Madam Chair, with regards to your first comment, you may rest assured, as long as you've known me, have I ever ignored people? No. In fact, to some people's dismay or sometimes even disgust, I try and get them involved as much as possible. So we will figure out where it is best to insert you into the process. And I don't mean that we're going to be making a judgment call. That won't necessarily be, it won't be at the very end. But we need to begin work, and so that's what I'm saying here. And so part of that is figuring out how to get to where we want to go. Because in the end, the criteria is going to be used to review you. Therefore, it is only fair, fitting, and proper that you have an input into what we're going to ask you to show us. In regards to the budget matters, that is not really a matter of purview for this particular committee, so I will defer that to either back to the chair or to the chair of the finance committee. But I do note your concerns. Unfunded mandates are never a good thing.
And I respect the fact that you also noted my concern that the cross communication across those committees then is vital to us.
Without speaking out of turn for my colleague on the Board Governance Committee. I am a member, but the chair hopefully will be reporting the fact that the board has been discussing that very matter about how we do that. And my simple answer to the board members is that you want to find out what the other committees are doing? The answer is 8 o'clock Friday morning.
Right. Yes, next at 9. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Wolf Ulrich Knoben. I'm a member of the Jinzo Council. In this respect, I'm just chairing a committee which is dealing with the supervising the implementation within the GNSO as well, on a GNSO level. So in this respect, I would like to ask Ray whether we could get more in contact with this Structural Improvements Committee with regards to the question before you start reviewing the GNSO again to look at what would be the criteria to review again and to review those the already done implementation. So in order that we, on the GNSO level, could be well prepared to do that and in order to exchange view on that. Thank you.
Real quick, I'll give you the same answer I gave to Marilyn. Is that, yes, you will be involved. Note I was saying we were going to be getting work, so we have to figure out how to do all that stuff, where to bring you in, put some timelines and deadlines. And when we ask you to, when we ask you to participate, we're going to put deadlines on you too, and we expect you to follow them as a responsible part of this process. And as I said before, it's only fair, fitting, and proper that you contribute to this process. So we are trying to get an early start on this so that when we get ready to go, we'll be ready. And so, yes, the council be included. Whether or not you're still there is a different matter because I don't know what your term is and so forth as an individual. But, yes, the council will be consulted.
Thanks, Ray. Further comment from Rita Rodin-Johnson.
Thank you, Peter. Yeah, just a quick comment, Wolf. I believe you were involved in that review process. I was on that GNSO review working group, and we did do kind of a sea change in terms of the contracted and non-contracted parties house and a reorg, and everybody in the community, you all worked really hard, and we had a number of comment periods. I mean, that was one of the things I referred to yesterday was we did have a whole scheme to be commented by the community, and people weren't engaged because they just had a lot of other work. But ultimately, we did get input from the community. I'm hopeful. I saw some of the emails about the GNSO and the working group, and Mikey obviously came to the mic yesterday to talk about that. It seems to me like that working group model, which was one of the key principles when we were thinking about this reform also, seems to be working with some bumps. So that was one of the issues we had, was trying to deal with sort of burnout and getting GNSO, the council, to be in more of this kind of oversight role. And that was really major input from the community. So I think we all hear you. It was a really tough process, and what my hope is that this next review will be more fine-tuning than that kind of big sea change we just had to implement. But it will be critical that you all input, since you're the ones actually doing the work, and you can assess for the review group how has it been going and what do we need to do. So thank you for your continued engagement.
Thanks, Rita. Seeing no further comments for the chair of the Structural Improvements Committee, we'll move on to the next one, which is the Risk Committee, and call on Steve Crocker to give that report from that committee. Steve.
Thank you very much, Peter. The Risk Committee takes a look at the structural and other kinds of risks that might be lurking, and so we look for trouble, as it were. Next slide. We have a distinguished group, Ram Raj, Mike Silver, Bruce Tonkin, Suzanne Wolf. Next slide. We met in San Francisco, and we've met again in May and June earlier this month. As you can see from the slide, we updated the risk analysis for the new GTLD program, and we are focusing attention on the status and monitoring of our ICANN's responsibilities under the affirmation of commitments. There is an overview of the systemic risks in DNS and overview of mitigation activities in the upcoming year. Next slide. We have in process of scheduling meetings in August and in September in conjunction with the regular board retreat, and again in October in conjunction with the next big ICANN meeting in Dakar. And we will be looking forward to program-level reviews for IDN variants, for IANA, for the business continuity efforts with respect to IT, and continuing attention, of course, on GTLDs. Next slide. I guess I can do this.
Nope. That's the last slide, Stephen.
That's the last slide.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Good.
Seeing none, and assuming there's therefore no risks to the Risk Committee, and we'll move to the next one, which is the Public Participation Committee, and call on that chair, Mike Silver, to give that report. Mike.
Thank you, Peter, and always an honor to have the baton passed from Steve. In terms of the Public Participation Committee, the structure includes Sebastian Bachelet, Thomas Norton, Gonzalo Navarro, Katim Toure, and Kowei Wu, ably supported by staff, I should say, who thankfully do most of the work. In terms of our focused areas, the first issue has been the public participation process, and specifically with regard to the ATRT recommendations. We also have specific focus areas on meetings, where not much has been done, and it now hopefully will start bubbling further to the top, as well as ongoing work on remote participation tools and outreach and engagement. Most recent activities have been very much specifically around the ATRT recommendations 15, 16, 17, 18, and 21, as well as trying to put additional effort around measuring success of remote participation tools. We have some pretty good tools. We obviously are refining those, and one of the key areas of refining those is looking at the metrics that we're using, as well as some of the newcomers' activities during and since San Francisco, including the lounge area that you may have seen near the registration desk. There were some suggestions that we should get some tough guys in suits to police the velvet barriers. Also the intro Sunday sessions that some people have found very useful. The top of the to-do list is, of course, implementation of the ATRT recommendations. This is something that is very significant, and there was a very useful public comment yesterday to say, well, simply implementing to the letter of the recommendations is not sufficient. There's been a lot of work, there's been a lot of effort in within relatively short time frames to look at revising process templates, a lot of the touch points that the community engages in around public comment and public participation. Within the next few months, you'll be seeing new web pages rolled out, new templates for executive summaries, a new structure for the display of public comment to allow for the comment-recomment process to work far more effectively. But what we haven't done is get under the hood and really rework some of the engineering behind the comment-recomment period. And that's something that's going to require a significant amount of work going forward. And with regard to those people who questioned whether we've missed an opportunity, I'd rather say we haven't missed an opportunity. It's very much on the radar still. But what we've done is we've tried to keep focused and make sure we implement within the timescales and pretty tight timescales required by the ATRT. We're also going to be engaging in a lot more work around the future of ICANN meetings. We've heard some discussion. We're looking at some of the physical issues, so location and structure in that regard. And there was some work that had been done by my predecessor and his committee around that area, and that work needs to be taken forward towards active steps. But in particular, it's also engaging with the community in terms of how they engage with each other, how they work themselves and the most effective way for them to work themselves. And also you would have seen during this meeting and in the last two meetings as well, some subtle and some drastic changes in the way that the community engages with the board, and working through that to try and find the most effective and efficient way for all three of those areas to be improved and to come through.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions of the Chair of the Public Participation Committee? And I see one at the microphone. Go ahead.
I'm not going to repeat my name is Marilyn Cade. I'm not going to repeat the extensive comments I made during the committee meeting yesterday because they were transcribed, and I know from the response that I received that they were really listened to carefully by the members of the committee, but I am going to restate one small portion of this. Concerns that I raised. I understand that there are plans to have plans to introduce and timelines that will be announced, but an overarching challenge for all of you as board members is how you yourselves understand the barriers to participation that are created for us when the information comes to us after it's at least partly cooked. Even that may, if it's cooked too far, that may create serious challenges for us because we're going to be giving you feedback that may require changes. So it's a disappointment to me that we did not have a briefing session on the overall ART, but in particular on these aspects as well, about where you are. And I did urge yesterday at the microphone that you consider doing a webinar on the overall ATRT, but these particular areas that this committee is responsible for, I think, can benefit from particular focus so that we give you comments early, the stakeholders give you comments where you are now before things go too much further without our input.
Marilyn, thank you, and I think the comment is very valuable. What I would say is that at the moment we've been looking at very practical steps. We're going to be going out with a focus group, and apologies to any of you who haven't been invited to join the focus group, but the idea is to keep it relatively small and to keep the comments very pertinent, to allow changes to be made in line with feedback from the focus group, and then when the system is rolled out to the community, we'll then get more feedback. At the same time, I take your point, and there is a tension between getting public input before the process starts as compared to people being able to look at something that's working and then to try and tweak it to improve it. What I can assure you is that when we come to actually re-engineering some of the process, that's a very different approach to what we've been doing around practical implementation. And in that case, we certainly will be looking at going to the community early and getting real feedback from the community up front and then implementing in accordance with that community, as opposed to the current approach around implementation steps where we've taken significant steps towards implementation and then we'll be testing our approach against a focus group and then against the general community. But I think the comment is well made and it certainly has been well taken.
Any further questions? If not, let's move to the next committee alphabetically, which is the IANA committee, and I'll call on Kwai Wai Wu, the chair of the IANA committee, to report. Kwai Wai.
Okay. Good morning for everyone. And this is a report for the IANA committee. The IANA committee actually including the following person, Katim and Ray and Bertrand and Thomas and also the Suzanne. And the meeting actually since San Francisco, we have April meeting, and we also have a May meeting, and of course, it's a Singapore meeting too. And for the work for this since San Francisco till now, I think first of all, we are trying to review in the terminology of the criteria for the delegation and re-delegation requirement. And I think all of you understand that the follows of delegation or re-delegation. We, of course, we need to, respect the community, and particularly, from the CCNSO, and also the GAC and other, stakeholder. So that is, we under this reviewing at the same time, we are just, waiting for a comment or the output from the CCNSO and the and GAG also. The second one, we also discussing about the nomenclatures in the IANA database. Of course, you know that is we try to see if those databases the new one will be any different to the previous one, and that is also we need to listen for the communities. If there is any differences. And particularly, we know that is the CCTOD and also the GNS GTOD on the database from the whatever, including the postal address, the kind of differences. And if there is any differences, of course, we need to talk with them very clearly, closely, to get agreement or something like that. The last one, we are going to discuss local internet community support and terminology. I think that is, if I remember, there's already have some kind of the study group is already working on, and there is a participation. The discussion is happened in, I think it's yesterday, something like that. Okay. So I think this is basically what is in our committee talking about from now since San Francisco till now. That's the end of my report. Thank you. Any question about the IANA committee report? Thank you.
Thank you, Kwai Wai. Seeing none, we'll move to the next committee on the list, which is the Board Global Relationships Committee, which I have the honour of chairing. And this is a relatively new committee, so just a reminder, the membership, I think this rivals the IANA Committee for interest and contribution by board members, Tereen, Erica, Gonzalo, George, myself, Katim and Kwai Wai, and the observant will note the geographic and gender spread that committee's managed to achieve, and that's been a deliberate policy. Again, just a reminder about what this committee is doing. It's the board's desire to provide strategic direction to sustain and enhance the many external relationships that ICANN has. Very important work that's always been ongoing. This is providing, as it says, oversight and assistance at the strategic level. The committee does not get involved in the detail of these relationships. We've met via teleconference in April and in person in May and in June. The major task in front of the committee at the moment, and a recurring task, is to review with the Global Partnerships team, who've been carrying out strategies and executing on plans in the various regions, preparing high-level strategic plans for each region. And I'm delighted to report that we've so far had some very good sessions with Rodrigo de la Parra, who's the ICANN regional liaison staff for Latin America, from Anne Rochelle, NA, of course, one of our longer-serving staff members, who's the liaison for Africa, and Save Vochea, who's the liaison for Asia-Pacific. Very good sessions, let me confirm, with each of these, setting out the issues in relation to each of the regions, and then a breakdown of some of the existing obvious relationships, the members of the CCNSA, members of the GAC, other relationships, and then having a reasonably high-level discussion as to what we try to achieve in terms of relationships in each of those areas, and then preparing some metrics around what we're trying to achieve, particularly, for example, membership of CCNSO and membership of the GAC. That's been a very useful exercise, and we're rolling around the world, as it were, looking at each of the regions, and then this will become a reasonably sort of steady part of that work. Just draw your attention also, ICANN's very pleased to announce the hiring of a VP, Europe. That announcement's gone out, and we're looking forward to welcoming Thomas Spiller, who many of us have met socially already, to the ICANN team to be Vice President in relation to Europe. The other thing that the committee's been doing has been developing, looking at the IANA contract renewal objectives and strategy, and you'll be aware of the NOI and the FNOI. And the committee's been active there in preparing and thinking and discussing and passing on recommendations to the whole board. In addition, we've been having a look at policies and procedures governing the CCTLDI ID and fast-track applications. Fair to say, I think the majority of work in relation to that has been done by the IANA committee. And also assisting the board in developing an implementation plan for accountability and transparency recommendation 14, and just a reminder that that deals with improving relationships with and participation by governments in the GAC. Particularly a new objective, the board also should work with the GAC, and I'm reading now from the recommendation, the board should work with the GAC to establish a process to determine when and how ICANN engages senior government officials on public policy issues on a regular and collective basis to implement existing GAC processes. So there's a recommendation as to how to implement on that, and that forms, along with the recommendations for all of the committees, the subject of a fairly substantive recommendation on the ATRT this afternoon. From this committee's perspective, of course, working on improving or working on dealing with anything with the GAC means that we have to consult with the GAC. And so the first part of the implementation plan is actually consulting with the GAC about how to do this, but certainly recommendations to move that that forward. So that's the activities, that's the people, that's the current work of the BGRC. Are there any questions? And I see one at the microphone. Madam.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade, and I'm going to refer to a discussion between the CSG and the board in our consultation on Tuesday and ask a question. What I saw was a list of activities. What I didn't see is a strategic objective or that directly addresses ICANN's existence and success in the rapidly changing geopolitical charged ecosystem that is evolving around us. And all of the things that the committee is doing are critical to influencing the success of ICANN in its own mission, and contributing to the success of ICANN as it is viewed from others outside. So doing all of these things with excellence is absolutely imperative, and I strongly support that. But I also note that one of the other things that ICANN does, and I agree that we should, is to participate with other ecosystem players in the internet ecosystem. It is a highly charged geopolitical environment right now. There are a number of significant challenges ahead of us, and I just am very, we made an offer from the broad business community to share both the information and activities, participate as we can, to be helpful to the challenges that ICANN faces. There are many others from the ALAC and other stakeholders in ICANN who also actively work in those environments. The Internet Governance Forum is one in particular. It's not the only one, but I would just note that perhaps this is too granular a question, but I'm looking for more feedback on how the committee is addressing those larger external challenges.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's a very good question. We are addressing those, and we do discuss, if you like, although I've mentioned the formality that we've created in relation to the geographic stripes, geographic cuts through the queue. We also concentrate on the horizontal ones across the community. We don't have a formal subcommittee or structure on that, but it forms the subject of our discussions, including IGF attendance by the board by ICANN at some of these things, participation in the EG8 and various other things. I would be very keen to have that more formalised, and I think we're working towards that, and I'm very aware that there's a great deal of expertise in the community in this, and people who've been participating for many years and could be of great assistance to us in improving that. And my own personal preference would be to have some occasional interfaces by way of, for example, subcommittees or special focus groups around those things where we could draw in the expertise from members of the community, much as we did, and of course I have to say thank you again for your work on the President's Strategy Committee as an example of reaching out to members of the community and bringing in their skills. So thank you for that. I think that's moving along. It's coming. Thanks.
So, hi, Jeremy Beal, Chief Executive Secretary of the GAC Secretariat, which, as you know, is a fairly new phenomena. Appreciate very much what you said about reaching out to the member countries to build up the GAC. I'll just say, of course, that it's a very, very sensitive issue. ICANN approaching countries where there are already GAC members. I would just ask if possible that ICANN, as much as possible, coordinate with the new GAC Secretariat on that so that we can make sure it's all properly coordinated. We already have very good relations with Jamie Headland, and if that could be sort of the channel, I think it would ensure that the engagement was smooth and highly constructive. Thanks.
Thanks. They're very good points, and I think I'd referred to the obvious sensitivities there. Just to confirm that step one of the implementation plan is that the board discusses with the GAC the development of the plan, etc. So I think that's certainly the starting point for us, and the idea that we would do any of that without very close support, not just cooperation, is going to make that ineffective. We've also had, of course, some liaison. We've had the GAC chair on at that committee on a couple of occasions, and of course she has been helping us with understanding the significance of that relationship. So thank you for the point. I think we're dealing with it, but we're always happy to improve. Rita.
Thank you, Peter. Just wanted to follow on the comments that Marilyn and Jeremy just made and sort of make a point about how these relationships can be improved. I don't think there's any question that they need to be. I don't think there's any question we've seen the last few months that the GAC, in addition to other ACs, want to become more involved in the policy process. But I think we all have to remember that neither the board nor the community is actually running the organization. And there are channels here that have to be determined. So while we do have expertise in individual board members in terms of government relations, while we have expertise in staff, while we have expertise in the community, we do have a GAC that is representing their governments. And there needs to be a plan to, in the most practical way, execute have our staff present something to the community, which then gets approved by the board. I just want to caution people about doing what Jeremy says, which is everyone has great relations, so people will start doing back-channel, one-off discussions to figure out the best way. I really think that what is going to make this successful is a very coordinated effort. And, Jeremy, I appreciate your comments because I think your input will be critical into how we shape this going forward. So I do suggest that staff and the board engage with the GAC on the best way to improve these relationships and then go from there in terms of other community members that might be helpful. Thanks.
Thanks, Rita. Any other questions or comments about the BGRC report? Seeing none, we'll say thank you to the chair of that and move on to the Finance Committee and ask Ramaraj to report. Ramaraj.
Thanks, Peter. The Finance Committee consists of Sebastian, Shireen, George, and myself. We've had keen interest from some of the other board members, so Gonzalo, Bruce, and Kateem have been non-voting members and observers on this committee. Since San Francisco, the committee has met three times to look predominantly at the budget and the budgeting process. The process for the budget normally starts in February with the framework getting posted, and then in May, the draft budget and operating plan getting posted, and at June meeting, getting it approved by the board. For the FY12, a new element was introduced saying, can this be advanced and get SO and AC chair inputs earlier? And that started in November. We got about 44 inputs from the SO AC chairs. Almost 32 have been incorporated into the budget in some form or the other. Now trying to review how this could be done better going forward. So that was a good starting. Trying to see if the budgeting cycle itself could be changed. Strategic plan, 4 months. Budget working is 4 months. And then community inputs and everything else, another 4 months. So looking at finding 3-4 month cycles rather than the current 8 and 4 months. The Finance Committee looked at the ATRT budget requirements and found in the FY12 budget monies and budgeting for all 27 of the ATRT recommendations. The new GTLD program, assuming that applications would be taken in starting in FY12, what would those budget implications be, both in terms of revenue or coming in and the resources to be spent, keeping in mind a cost-neutral approach. So these were the three broad budget focus for the committee. The reserve fund has been managed through an investment manager. This is about 3 years, so the committee felt that it is good practice to open that out for a fresh bid and requested the existing current investment manager to participate in that, and so reviewed the selection of a new investment manager for the reserve fund. The reserve fund itself is doing all right, and at the start of this meeting was at about $52 million or so. The takeaways on the budgeting process was that there should be more clarity in terms of the budget itself, and that on the FY12, the committee is working closely with staff to have something presented and put up there sometime as soon as possible on the FY12 budget itself. So greater detail, that was the request, and so examining how that could be done, and that should be done as soon as possible. So that's the next task that is being taken away as action arising out of Singapore. Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade, and I would like to both thank the committee four members for all of your work and acknowledge that throughout this ICANN 41 meeting, you've had a number of interactions with the community that I come from, the CSG, where we've expressed some significant disappointment. And I want to both thank the financial staff, the team that has interacted with us, but say that we remain significantly concerned. And you've heard about that before. I'm not going to repeat it. But what I'd like to note is that it's very time-consuming for us to devote the time to review the strat plan and the budget and the operating plan. And not all of our members do that. Each of us tends to designate those who are willing to devote that particular time to it. I think we've decided on our side in the CSG that we're going to have to take an additional step, which means additional resources and for us. And Steve Metallitz mentioned yesterday that we are suggesting that I can consider reestablishing a budget. We called it a budget advisory committee. It was probably more a budget consultation committee. But I would reinforce that message and note for your information on our side, the CSG will be establishing a budget working group that cuts across the three constituencies, following the model, I think, the very effective model of the CCNSO. So thank you for your work. You've acknowledged that we haven't quite delivered the kinds of information that we need. I think it's a really critical period. For us to be able to keep stakeholders involved, we need to be able to give them more detailed information, not just figures, but also the description of the proposed initiatives.
Well, thank you, Marilyn. I think what this new budget cycle that we're talking about, 4 months strategic plan, 4 months interaction and consultations with community, and 4 months out for public comment. And I think that may be the right place to take this consultation from community. And I think it's a great idea. And in principle, I think we should look forward to working with you and the others on this. Thank you.
If I can just add, Marilyn, to paraphrase some comments I made at the at-large meeting, I think the next big challenge for ICANN and the multi-stakeholder model in general is moving from constitutional and institution building, which we've done for the first 5 or 6 years, to get the building blocks in place, and secondly, then running policy through that mechanism. And I think the new GTLD policy is the best example of using every element of the policy apparatus, including eventually taking in GAC advice, and then finally even disagreeing with some GAC advice as provided for in the bylaws, and that the complete use of the policy mechanisms that we've created. The next phase, I think, is developing the multi-stakeholder finance and administration model, which I think, quite frankly, we've not been paying attention to, and we really do need to move on that. And, you know, we're pioneering this in many ways, and the work here will be exciting and novel. I don't expect it to happen overnight, but it's an area, I think, of the next focus in this whole multi-stakeholder development. So thank you for that. Any other questions? If not, say thank you to the very hard-working chair of the Finance Committee, and thanks to that committee, and move to the Board Governance Committee and ask Bruce Tonkin, as the chair of that, to give the report. Bruce.
Thank you, Peter. So that's the membership of the Board Governance Committee, which is also posted on the ICANN website. One of the things that we've been doing is trying to sort of capture the institutional knowledge as board members come and go from the ICANN board, and different practices that have been used on the board are transferred from one group to another. We're trying to document things as we go. Where we identify something needs to be improved, we note it, discuss it at the board, and then document it in our operating procedures. So one of the things that we've been working on is the best way of disclosing and talking about conflicts of interest. I think it's important to understand that ICANN and the ICANN board is not a government organisation. It is, as others have used throughout the week, a multi-stakeholder environment. We do have people on the board that have connections with the technical and operators of the internet infrastructure, and they bring with them the expertise that they gain from those roles. And it's not uncommon for boards to have, on any particular issue, there may be one or two board members that have a conflict and therefore they don't participate in discussions on that issue and they disclose that conflict. It's important to realise that on any discussion we have 21 board members that participate in most discussions and we have 16 voting board members that actually vote on most issues. So if there's one or two board members that have a conflict, it doesn't really impact the ability for the board to operate effectively. What we have been doing is improving the disclosure of such conflicts, and for the first time in the Brussels meeting that we had with the Government Advisory Committee, we publicly disclosed a short summary of the most significant relationships that some board members have with other members of the community and even with each other on the board. We're going to continue to enhance that process and we'll make that a standard feature of the ICANN website. When you look at the board members, you will also see potential conflicts. And that's something that other parts of ICANN have also been doing. ESSAC does that, as does the GNSO. So that's an ongoing area of improvement. We've been likewise looking at handling a confidentiality and getting the balance right. Generally, we're trying to be as transparent as possible, but where we might be dealing with a staff issue or something at a board level, this is clearly something that that the details of those discussions need to remain confidential to protect the privacy of the people involved. The Governance Committee is often called to look at populating various working groups of members, so we've recently established a working group to look at the how ICANN interacts with groups like the W3C, the ITF, ISOC, ITU, etc. So we have a working group looking at how to do that. We've considered the requirement for the board to or a process to select an academic representative to the nominating committee, and that will be subject to further discussion. One of the things that we're focusing on now is the oversight of the AITRT recommendations and the implementation of those, and I will talk about that further in the board meeting later this morning. And we are also, the other area that we're trying to tighten up on is making sure we're very clear on the job descriptions of the different roles at ICANN. So we've been looking at further refining the job description for the chair of the nominating committee, and also we're seeking to get both a chair and a chair-elect of the nominating committee to sort of plan for succession planning and plan a bit further out into the future. And we've started discussions on the risk management oversight working group as well. Other topics is how to handle requests for travel support from board members, and we are looking at how we can assist the board members in being involved in the creation of the framework for GTLD communications. Certainly the board members are very diverse. People come from lots of different parts of the world, and one of the things is to take advantage of the geographic location of board members to help explain to their local communities in terms that are relevant for them what we're doing with things like new GTLDs, and explain how they can either participate or at least understand what the implications for their organisations would be in those particular locations. One of the things that we get at the moment, as the organisation is getting more and more mature, and we've seen that particularly with the At-Large Advisory Committee, is now very regularly sending communications of advice to the board, The Government Advisory Committee has in the last 12 months, if we counted the number of lines of advice we've received, I'm sure it's a large number. And so we need to get better at managing the inputs and managing the communication of how we've taken that advice into account. And so that's, again, an area of focus. And then finally, this week we've been looking at the consideration for changes in board committee membership following the appointment to the board of Chris Spain and Bill Graham, and following the departure from the board of Peter Dangate Thrush and Rita Radan Johnson. So you'll hear more about that later this morning. We've also been having discussions about the board chair and vice chair. Interestingly, again, I'll talk about that. Maybe I'll leave it. I'll talk about that perhaps further this morning. And the other one of the ATRT recommendations around compensation, which we will cover further this morning as well. So I won't try and repeat things. We'll cover some of these topics in the board meeting later today. I think that's all, Peter.
Thank you. Any questions for the Chair of the Board Governance Committee? Not, I'll reclaim the... Sorry, we can then move to the Audit Committee, and I'll ask Rita Radan Johnson, the Chair of the Audit Committee, to give the report. Rita.
Thank you, Peter. The Audit Committee has been fairly busy the last few years since I came in as Chair. I think in prior reports we've talked about various best practices that we've tried to begin here. If we can put the first slide up, please. There are a number of things that the committee recently discussed that have to do with improving the financial controls, right? Just to level set everybody here, the Audit Committee is overseeing financial and internal controls. And we do have a slide here. Thankfully, I do have a printout now. What the Audit Committee does every year also is discuss. So there's the committee members, myself, Steve, and Erica. Erica will be stepping in as chair of this committee when I step off the board. Next slide, please. All right, do I press this? Okay. Am I saying next slide while I'm holding this? Okay. This is, see, remember talk about volunteer fatigue, board fatigue right here. So we have a number of bullets here that do talk about the FY10 audit, which we discussed with our external auditors. And once again, we're happy to report that ICANN did get a clean audit report that was posted. And I want to make some comments here. That's one of the struggles I think the board has had, because we do get clean audit reports, and we do have the external auditors that repeatedly tell us that the financial controls are very adequate and very much in accordance with U.S. principles. And yet we keep hearing comments in the community about needing more detail, needing more specifics, needing more notice about how things are going to be spent. So the Audit Committee has spent the last 3 years while I've been chair trying to figure out how do we do this in conjunction with the Finance Committee. So I think that I mentioned a little bit yesterday we're getting this new financial package, and you can see that's the fourth bullet, reviewed plans for financial system conversion. So I wanted to give the community a little bit more color. I asked Juan Ojeda, the controller, to give me some bullets on this Great Plains software, which, as I said, the first phase of implementation is due to be completed on July 1st. But here are some of the bullets that I wanted to share with you about this new financial software application from Juan. Great Plains will allow us to improve our finance function in three main ways: in internal controls, in information processing, and in financial reporting. From an internal controls process, Great Plains will allow us to integrate an electronic workflow approval process for approval of invoices, purchase requisitions, and travel and expense reports. These workflows can be customized as needed to ensure we follow best practices and internal policies. So this is something important. It might not seem like this is going to be what you all are looking for, but a lot of the way ICANN internal cash flows are processed have been very manual over the years, which has been somewhat frustrating to some of us on the board. So this is going to try to integrate that into the GL and create a much more accountable and easily viewed system. The next thing that Great Plains is going to do is going to allow us to create efficiencies by integrating information processing from our external sources, such as ADP and Union Bank. It will also allow us to create efficiencies with our various internal modules, such as our purchase requisition system, travel and expense system, and banking modules. We also expect significant efficiencies and automation in our billing. And finally, and I think this is probably the most important point for you all out there, Great Plains will allow us to improve our reporting for forecasting, budget line item basis variance analysis, and more robust departmental work. It will also allow us to provide project cost accounting reports and enhance our external reporting. So this is what we've been fighting for the last few years on the audit committee. Hopefully, this will go a long way in assisting the finance committee and the community in getting some more of this information that you all seek. So, as ICANN is rolling out this program, you know, I do encourage you to maybe have your constituencies come up with a quick bullet list, maybe some types of information you'd want to see or ways that you'd like information processed, because that can then help Juan and Ackerman and hopefully the new, very soon to be hired CFO, and how they're going to actually present these things to the community. So if we go back to that second bullet, as you may remember, what we did, I think last year, is we instituted an internal audit function at ICANN. So what this basically did was say we don't need to hire a full internal audit staff, but there is a value to having an external organization be looking at what ICANN's doing from an audit perspective more than once a year as part of the official audit. So we retained Grant Thornton, and we were happy to receive their first report, which the audit committee discussed with them. I think that what we heard was that we do, in fact, they agreed with what you all have been saying. We do, in fact, need a CFO pretty quickly, and we do need to get some of these reporting upgrades executed as soon as possible. So we're following up with them on that. This third bullet is another thing that I'm happy that we've completed. You know, the board has various skills, and we always talk to the nominating committee about different skills that the community might want us to have. And financial expertise has not necessarily been incredibly high on that list, I think. And sometimes that can create issues here. We do have Ram Raj, who's led the finance committee in an excellent way the last few years, but I think at prior years, we definitely have felt, both on audit and finance, that we need some more real deep financial expertise. So we conducted a process whereby we put expressions of interest out in the community for members of any community, really, that wanted to come and be kind of consultants to the audit committee. This was something we worked with John Jeffrey, and it's a best practice of many for-profit audit committees as well, but certainly nonprofits, to say, you know, we might not have the depth of experience in financial matters that we'd like, so can we get somebody that will be kind of on call and work at the request of the audit committee to help us out if we have any issues? And we thought this would be prudent, given that we're going to now roll the new GTLD program out, and there's going to be, in theory, a lot of additional monies and flows of funds, whether it's the application process, from the auctions, et cetera, et cetera. So we're very happy to say that we have selected a candidate, and there will be some information published shortly on who that candidate will be. We're still working through if he's going to actually come to a meeting so people can meet him. Again, he's not on staff. He's not on the board. He's really just somebody to allow us to ask a few questions to. But we will give you guys as much information as we can about him. And then just another audit committee business, we are going to stay with the same independent audit firm for FY11. We think that they've done a great job, and for this next year at least, they'll be adequate. I have recommended that for FY12, especially with the launch of new GTLDs. We probably try to get another external audit firm to do this. I think it's definitely audit committee best practices to rotate the firms. I think part of the problem has been that, quite frankly, ICANN doesn't have the most incredibly complex financial system, although many of you might not think that. So when we put things out to bid, we don't get a ton of interest from the big four accounting firms, and they are also incredibly more expensive to do that. So just wanted to give you guys that additional information. And lastly, we reviewed the progress of various process improvement initiatives, some of the things I talked about with the Great Plains software. I don't like the way travel reimbursement, there's still very much a manual process, and I think given the amount of travel budget this organization has, I really want to see that process automated. So we've been asking for that for many years, and that's, again, something that's in flow here in the organization. I encourage you all to continue to press on making sure that those things get executed. Any questions for the audit committee? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rita. Let's move on to the next generic slide, if we can, which deals with the work of the committees in general. And while that's coming up, let me just confirm that, like other sessions, this session is open for public comment, and Feliz Yilmaz, our Director of Public Participation, has been manning the public comment desk. So far, there haven't been any online questions, but if they had, they would have been fed into the system. Is there a slide change, Rita? If you could just move forward from that slide. We should be having a slide on the screen which, amongst other things, confirms that each of the committees prepares a public report and that these reports that you've just heard excuse me, are available on the website at that URL. And if you move forward to the next slide, the obvious point that for more detail on all of the activities of all of the committees, minutes, etc., are prepared and following approval are posted on the individual committee web pages at the URL at the bottom of that screen. And with that, we bring this session on the board committee reports to a close. I thank all the committee chairs for the work since San Francisco, including in reporting here early this morning. Thank you very much. This session is closed, and I'm inviting Steve Crocker as the Vice Chair to take the next session, which will be reporting to the community from the chairs of the SOs and the ACs. Steve, over to you.